This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Worship is the gathering, it's the communion of the believers, it's the equipping for service. Then we go to our ministries, outreach ministries, we've got our Bible studies, we've got our group studies, we actually are active in the community. There's too many churches that talk about things. And then in my church in Atlanta, I had 200 singers in the adult choir. They were all active in community projects, outreach projects of the church, like Habitat Houses. This church built 100 Habitat Houses when I got there, before I got there, and we were still active. So the people in the choir served, but they continued to serve in Sunday schools and outreach ministries. And typically, the people in the choir are the active people in the church doing a lot of things. So the worship is important for the faith formation, but it's not the end. It's the weekly recharge, the weekly gathering, and the support system that we need. But it's not this isolation from the world. There's this hymn writer who lived into his 90s, Fred Pratt Green, wrote lots of contemporary hymnody, and one that it's in the mainline denominational hymn books, but we hardly ever, haven't been where we sang it. It says, "The Church of Jesus Christ closes its outer door on the world that needs our Christian care. We salve our consciences in our house of prayer." So are we actually active in fulfilling God's call as a community of faith? Are we just shutting ourselves in and saying, oh, poor us, we got to keep the doors open? Are we equipped to serve others? And musical beings, we are. Even if you're not a singer, even if you're not a musician, you can relate to music. So it brings everybody together in that communion. It's the communion of saints. It's the spiritual gathering. That's the gift that musicians gave us. So my journey of faith was a journey of faith. I never had an unbelieving time. I never was rebellious. I never said that the church is not for me. I continued to believe, but I continued to dig in on the meaningfulness of worship and the active. And, you know, I like to say I served the church for 40 years. In spite of that, I remained Christian. It's a big challenge for people.
In spite of that, you remained a Christian.
Christian despite the fact I work for the church, because those sweet Southern Christian ladies can be a real challenge to you. And, you know, it's a hard place to work. So if you go to church, respect your leaders, because it's what they're having to put up with is very difficult.
I can't imagine being a pastor. I tell my pastor friends this. I would not want that calling, because, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, it's Edith calling. He's snoring loud and he won't go into the other room or whatever it is, waking up the pastor for these silly things at 2 o'clock in the morning. And folks, it happens. And then there's that addiction. Some people become, what's that thing, interdependent on each other, codependent. And if somebody helps them out to attend, suddenly they're calling the pastor wondering, should I have meatloaf for dinner or fish, you know?
Well, and pastors are, you know, we're at record highs for nonprofit leaders burnout and for pastors leaving the profession. We're at record highs. They're retiring early, taking leave of absence. They're just quitting because it's so stressful. You know, 1 out of 10 pastors makes it to retirement in their career.
Well, what's that? 1 out of 10?
1 out of 10 pastors, research shows that they make it to retirement.
Wow. So, now, you mentioned something earlier about chaplains. I was visiting somebody in the hospital a few years ago, and I'm getting to be a little older, and I stopped in and started saying hi to different people in rooms, and I kind of wished I'd had one of those collars on at that point so I could represent Jesus, you know, and I was thinking maybe someday when I'm older I could become a chaplain. Well, differentiate for me, what's the difference, because you said you worked with a chaplain, but you've also worked with pastors and reverends in big churches. What's the difference?
In a nursing home, in a hospital, in the army, they're called chaplains. They're people.
Oh, okay.
It's a position title, and those were the pastors in the army, and they were all faiths. And I was asked the chaplain coming in, why are you in the army? Because we're supposed to kill people. And he said, I'm here to be here for you. And what would it be like if we didn't have pastors here to support you? So I worked for a chaplain, a very large chaplain. We did music, which really was a gathering place and attracted a whole lot of people who were coming there because they wanted to be there. So we do have amazing amount of impact on people. So that's why I was inspired to write this book, Moving Spirits, Building Lives, The Church Musician is Transformational Leader. Transformational leadership is about a vision. It's about us influencing others and about us inspiring other people to raise the bar on their own performance, which is the opposite of boss that we talked about earlier. So it took me 40 years to write this book, 30 days to put it on paper. It's a lot. I left 40 years of music ministry and didn't have a job or even any leads for a job. And I sat down to write this book. And my friend says, you don't need to write a book. You need to get a job. I said, no, I'm going to write a book. So fortunately, I got two really good jobs. And the book I sold, first conference I went to, sold 600 of them. And I thought, well, this is a happening thing. So I self-published because Cokesbury said pastors wouldn't buy it. And, you know, there's a whole lot of pastors that have this book. They buy it from me, from Cokesbury. So, and Amazon and other places. So, you know, it's been a journey of faith for me. So let me highlight, when I talk to leaders in churches, in corporations, I primarily, James Allen, the writer, As a Man Thinketh, says, really good spiritually grounded book, As a Man Thinketh, James Allen. He said, yeah. We do not attract what we need, we attract what we are. And by and large,
hold on, say that again. We do not attract
what we need.
We attract what we are. Oh wow! And could we expound on that?
Well, people who want to work with me are profoundly people of faith, and I don't let it hang out there. I don't take all this church talk. I just show up as Hugh Ballou. But who I attract are people of faith, and so we have that synergy. So that plays out. There are some eternal truths that play out all the time. My wife and I read the lectionary, a daily lectionary every day. So there's two Psalms, Old Testament, New Testament, and a gospel reading every day. And in the course of the year, it goes through all the major themes of the Bible. And you know, there's stuff in the Bible I don't remember seeing before. And there's stuff that, oh, because we're taking it in that journey, a little here, a little there, there's themes every day, and it manifests itself in a new understanding for me. And there's so much to learn, Rhett. You can read it every day and read it all day and still not get it all.
Well, so, I think it's I could see you, I don't know if you do this, but speaking at huge corporations, because who better to speak about leadership than a conductor who did this for 40 years. By the way, did you know that 40 is the number for testing? Moses, you know, with 40 days, 40 nights, 40 years out in the wilderness. Noah with 40 days, 40 nights. Jesus, 40 days, 40 nights. Yep. So, you know, you did it for 40 years, and then so you were set free.
As an end cap, I want to just give you real quickly Hugh's four leadership principles. It's for music. So if you master these, you can raise the bar on your leadership skills anywhere. And you can get these in my podcast, betterleader.me. And I'll give you
betterleader.me.
Yeah, it's free. You get all this leadership stuff. 31 days to being a better leader. First, I step on the podium, I got to know the score. We know it's the foundations. Number one is foundation. You got to know where you're going. You got to have a vision. Got to have the skill to lead. Two, I hire the best musicians. Hire the best. Two is about relationships. You build and maintain relationships with important people. You don't want to work with a bunch of bums. You want to work with a bunch of really excellent Christians who want to make a difference. Three, rehearse success. The best ensembles in the world rehearse for every performance. We don't do that in corporate America. We don't do that in nonprofit. We don't do that in church. Rehearse. It's about systems. We have bad meetings, expect good results. Come on. And the last one I spoke about, value the rest. It's balance in your life. If you don't have the life you want, that's your fault. Balance your life. Work, home life, your spiritual, mental, physical part of our being, we keep those in perspective. It's not equal. It means we're not out of balance. We're not over-functioning. Then we're not going to burn out, and then we're no good to anybody.
You know, I'm just reading a book now. I forget the name. It's up in my bedroom, but I got it at the library. I saw it at the Barnes & Noble. And it's about this fellow who was an attorney at law. And he said, I suddenly realized how miserable I was. Well, they sold their big house, took the money from the profit of that, bought a smaller house in the suburbs or somewhere out there where they could have a garden or whatever, brought the kids. They're living on a lot less income, but they're really happy now. And sometimes it takes a lot to get to that place where you're emancipated from what we think we should be doing. In fact, where true happiness lies.
Amen. Amen. And I belong to a local Rotary Club. Actually, they have no good sense. They elected me president. But anyway, their motto, service above self.
And service above self.
It's a good one. You don't minimize yourself, but you always, there's a reciprocity in giving.
Absolutely. There's absolute law of reciprocity. I learned that from Pat Robertson. Listen, in the book of The Secret Kingdom. Okay, so people want to get in touch with Hugh Ballou. What is your website?
HughBallou is how you spell it. It's HughBallou.com. H-U-G-H.
Is that really your name?
That is my real name.
You were born with.
Ballou.com.
You cannot forget it. Hugh Ballou. Listen, Hugh, I'm just getting to know you, and I want to get to know you better. And I know we're jumping around many places, but maybe we can meet face-to-face. I'd like to do a face-to-face with you in the near future. But thank you very much for being on It's a New Day.
Thank you for inviting me. You're such a great interviewer. It was a lot of fun.
Well, it's nice of you to say that, but thank you, Hugh Ballou. God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve Camp of the Cross Church here in Palm City, Florida. We'd like to invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10 a.m. We are a Reformed congregation, and so we believe that salvation is all of grace by faith in Jesus Christ alone and not of works. We are currently studying the Gospel of Matthew expositionally, verse by verse, every week. All sinners are welcome. So come as you are, but leave as he is.
Here I am in a river of questions. Can I pour my heart out to a listening ear? Well, I see this life, its valleys and mountains, and I think of all the roads that brought me here. Oh, that brought me here. Walking down the road. Well, I've questioned my reason. This life I'm living, I question my ability to judge wrong from right. Well, I questioned all the things I've ever called certain, my race, my religion, my country, my mind. But the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. You really love me like you say you do. So hold me, I need you to hold me. Well, I've questioned significance, meaning and relevance. Does the work I'm doing really matter at all? Well, I question my friendships, alliance, dependence. Who will still be here when I fall? But the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. Yeah, the one thing I don't question.